What's going on, everybody? We're back with you here, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Tuesday morning edition during the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're getting deeper down the line. Robbie, how's everything going, man?
Yeah, deeper down the line, some late nights, some OT games. Really good to see that. You know, if you're a casual hockey fan, you always want to see these games go late. But Petey, I think we got to start here with just a little eulogy for the Edmonton Oilers, led by Connor McDavid. Another early postseason exit.
Oh, boy.
Clearly, I mean, it's not his fault solely. It's not Draisaitl's fault solely. I mean, you look back at last year, it wasn't really their fault individually last year. I was looking back, like last year, McDavid had 9 points in four games, and this year he had a point per game, and Draisaitl had a point per game. It's like, it's really the inner workings of that roster. They might have the worst bottom six in the league. The goaltending, even when it's good in the regular season, doesn't show up at the time of year when you need it most. And it's just roster flaws. They can't surround these guys with enough talent.
We were trying to figure out where a sweep was coming from, Rob. I mean, could we have thought that the sweep was going to come from the Oilers getting swept by the Winnipeg Jets? The Jets, you know, were demolished by them during the regular season, and that's where the sweep comes from. It's unbelievable. And again, you know, I'm going to go back to what a couple months ago and talk about Mike Smith. He did the best he could with what was going on, but he needed to make a couple big saves, especially in that in game three, and he couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, if you were watching that game on Sunday, you know, going into the third period, you're like, finally, this Edmonton team got it going, you know, the depth scoring a little bit. And then Winnipeg comes back, scores three goals in the third period. And you knew that, you know, it was over at that point. You know, maybe Edmonton would squeak out a game. But if you're going to have to go, you know, four straight wins against Connor Hellebuyck, that's not happening. And I do want to give credit to the Jets here. It's a good hockey club. Postseason, you know, four straight years in a row now for them. Paul Maurice, second longest tenured head coach in the league. So there is a lot of good things for the Jets. But I think, you know, from a overhead view here, classic NHL standpoint, I mean, McDavid, you know, Wayne Gretzky, some of the best players to ever play the game. It's unfortunate when they're not still playing in the postseason. It is. It just simply is, especially when you have a wingman like Leon Draisaitl, who had a tremendous season too, certainly overshadowed by what McDavid did. But it's a little bit sad to see, you know, just that they can't get any more help. And if you watched the game last night, you saw McDavid start showing his emotions by the end of the game. Normally a pretty even-keeled guy, but even he started to bubble over. And you can't help but wonder, what does this team do over the offseason to make McDavid happy to say, we are investing in this team to go deep in the playoffs?
You literally saw Connor McDavid's heart break a few times. Game three, the overtime winner, his heart broke. And then the Ethan Bear turnover. I don't think he saw the ice after that. Last night in game four, but Petey, hey, we've been going back and forth on the Oilers, you know, since last year, basically. And it's the same old story here. And to me, like I said, you know, Pete, I'll let you go, but the Mike Smith stuff, the goaltending, Kenny Holland, who is a goaltender, it's time. Figure out what you're going to do with the goalies.
Yeah, well, they're going to have some decision to make with Nugent Hopkins, who's, you know, their third or fourth best player. I mean, he's a UFA, so you know, that's a way for them to open up some money for some other things, but then you'll miss a player like that. So there are no easy answers in Edmonton. It just feels like, you know, especially with the pressure mounting over the course of this series, you know, not a shakeup involving McDavid or Draisaitl, obviously, but there will probably be some major moves made for better or worse in the offseason. Honestly, it can't get much worse than the way this team performed each of the past two postseasons, based on expectations. And on the flip side, me and Robbie were talking about right during the game, some of these teams around the league, whether it's load management or just waiting for the right time of year, whether it's the Jets or the Islanders, teams that really struggled down the stretch, it's almost like they did it and they knew all along that they were saving their best for last, you know, because we're seeing these teams really take command here.
There's no question. And I mean, it looks good on them right now. I mean, if you watch the Islanders play the Penguins, you know, yeah, the Penguins are a little bit older with their, you know, core group of guys, but I mean, the Islanders just look so fresh, you know, in the third period. I thought, you know, last night they just were tremendous, you know, against the Penguins. The Islanders, you know, they can score off the rush now, and their power play is still not doing well. So if they can find a way to get that going, I think that team's going to look really good. And then going back to this load management thing, it's a phenomenon that really really overtook the NBA. I think the past three seasons, I can remember it being pretty prevalent there. And, you know, say what you want about it in the regular season, if you're trying to take the family to a game, you know, late in the year, and, you know, LeBron James isn't suiting up, but at the end of the day, if you're playing for championship trophies, these guys have to be in the lineup. They have to be healthy. And look at the Washington Capitals, for example. They had four guys that were injured, and they looked like the slowest team in the NHL because those guys couldn't play, Petey. So what would you rather have? Would you rather rest those guys down the stretch, or would you rather go deep in the playoffs?
Right. What would you rather have, 105 points in the regular season or, you know, some playoff success? I think the answer is pretty clear. It's the reason why we were a little hard on Edmonton entering the season, not to dwell on this topic. There's so much else to get to here with all the series, but, you know, we were critical of the goaltending. We were critical about the supporting cast, and it's like, we just have seen it come into fruition later than we expected. Obviously, they achieved a lot in the regular season, did a great job making the playoffs as a, you know, as the two seed in that division, but all for nothing here. They go back to the drawing board and really need to reevaluate everything from the coach to the goaltending to the secondary scoring and everything else. So, Robbie, what's your biggest surprise of the whole playoffs so far? I mean, to me, like, the fact that the Carolina-Nashville series is still tied is unthinkable, but this is where we are, right?
Before you get in there, Robbie, let me just tease Matt Russell, Action Network. He's going to be coming on about 20 minutes. We're going to do betting market stuff with him, games tonight, games tomorrow, adjusted series prices. And Robbie, I saw your face right there. I mean, it is a little shocking that Nashville and the way they did it there in the overtime to tie this series at two. And what a celebration there at the end of game four. I mean, that's what playoff hockey is. And it's great to see the fans back, but what a leap into the arms. Luckily, no one got hurt. But yeah, that series has been great.
Yeah, I'm stoked for Matt Russell, what he's going to say about some of these and maybe some good betting takes and series prices. Maybe you put something on Nashville right now to close this thing out. I know, Bob, before, you know, when we were kind of teasing these postseason matchups, we were trying to identify, okay, what goalie, you know, can steal a series? Where can we go with that? It happens every single year, you know, dating back as far as I can remember. A goalie always steps up, is a brick wall. Doesn't matter how good the other team is, whatever it is, it always happens. So it looks like Saros might be doing that this year. He made 58 saves the other night. It was ridiculous performance by him. But now, Petey, I think the thing we have to give Nashville credit for, other than Saros, is they're starting to get some offense. Granlund's been really good, right? I mean, Duchene is coming in to the form that we used to know that player as. So these are things that is definitely not, we're not going to overlook Nashville anymore. And Roman Josi on the back, and this guy's a shot machine. If you're playing DFS right now, you got to get Josi into your lineup for shots alone. And then I think when you look at Carolina, and they're not playing bad. They're not doing anything that's wrong. You know, they're playing well. They're shooting a lot. They have good puck possession metrics, but it just seems to happen in the NHL. These teams like Nashville, Montreal is another one that this kind of happens to, you know, where they start to steal some games. And now you're thinking, oh boy, we might see another upset here.
One thing that's missing from Carolina that could haunt them as the series goes on, if he doesn't return, is Jacob Slavin not playing. I mean, that was like an early series storyline that you kind of just overlooked because you knew Carolina was super deep, but missing a player like that, you know, everybody gets elevated and it's just like, you know, it makes it a little, gives you some breakdowns here and there, and Nashville's taking advantage of it. Two things that I underestimated about Nashville. I underestimated the home ice advantage because that's been as good as anyone in the whole league with some of those crowds and winning both home games. And then the other thing is, how it hasn't only just been Saros, it's been like the top four defense, which still, when Josi and Ellis and Ekholm are healthy, it really rivals all the great defenses in the league, like Colorado and Carolina and Vegas and even Minnesota. So like that has allowed them to neutralize Carolina's power play. And like when you look at their power plays right now, it's only separated by like 4% in the series. So that's a big win for Nashville. That really closes the gap for them and gives them a real chance to win the series.
And for anybody, including myself, saying that Dallas might have been a better opponent here, you know, in the first round or a tougher out, I've abandoned that take completely. I mean, this has been one of my favorite series to watch, the Carolina-Nashville one, just because both teams are playing so hard. It's a fast game. You know, there's a lot of action. I think the only thing that I'm kind of waiting to see is if the Carolina power play can get out from the basement. They're 14.5% right now, obviously a top five unit during the regular season. So if they can get that going, great. But you mentioned it, Petey, the Nashville defense is so so solid. Their penalty kills right now is top five in the postseason. And if they're going to continue to shut down Carolina's power play, I think they've got a real chance to take this one. It would surprise me. I would be a little maybe disappointed to see another kind of juggernaut team, you know, on the shelf moving forward in the postseason. But I really like what I see from Nashville. And I think, Bobby, like if they do find a way to advance, which I would put a little something on right now, I like the way they're playing. They're going to be a tough out if Saros keeps playing like this. I don't care who they're going to play. I think they would be a tough out, you know, even if it was a Tampa Bay, you know, whatever, Florida, whoever.
We'll ask Matt what the adjusted series price is for that series. I am leaning to go because they're just so good, Carolina, similar to what I did with Vegas when they fell down 1-0. You know, you can grab Vegas at a nice number. I mean, of course, Minnesota wins that game last night, so there will be a game six. I like Carolina, but yeah, the Slavin stuff is scary. We had Tripp Tracy on, and he talked about it for a while, about what an impact Slavin is for that team, and not having him when he comes back. Is he healthy? Yeah, it's. But I would lean to Carolina. I want to see what the price is. Matt might have some insight on that.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what the price is on the Florida Panthers to win the series right now, because they just took a big step forward. Obviously, Robbie, right, inserting Spencer Knight was a wrinkle we knew they had in their back pocket all along, and they saved it for the right moment. And I don't think it could have been a better time. Great resiliency by the kid, gives up the goal on the first, you know, first minute of the game, and then doesn't give up another one the rest of the way. I mean, it's been really cool to see some of these rookies flourish, whether it's Nedeljkovic and Sorokin with 48 saves, and Spencer Knight looks like the goalie of the present. We kind of like mentioned it in the regular season, but like, I think Spencer Knight, like, depending on how this goes, even based on just that first, you know, first grades on his first playoff game, I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid.
And it was the first game the Tampa Bay top line was held without a point across the board in the series. Wow. So you have to look at that too and say, whatever Joel Quenneville did other than putting Spencer Knight out there, you know, defensively, it seemed to work matchup wise for them against the Lightning. And then also Jonathan Huberdeau leading the postseason in points right now. Pretty good there too. You can't complain about that. So from a Florida Panthers perspective, I like that they got this far in the series. I still think Tampa Bay is going to get this thing done. McDonough might be in a little trouble. I think he's having a hearing today. So keep an eye on that, because he's been tremendous. If you've been watching the games, it feels like this guy's been in the league for 25 years too.
I love McDonough. He blocks shots. He does everything. I loved him when he was with the Rangers. He does all those little things in the playoffs, and he's been good. With Spencer Knight, the interview he did post game, he's just taken in the crowd. I mean, he's 20 something years old. And I thought the interview was phenomenal. I mean, he was just soaking it all up. And why wouldn't you, as a youngster, to go win? You know, you're thrown into a playoff battle here. The goalie situation in Florida, you would have never thought Spencer Knight was going to get a chance. He gets the win. He lets the goal up, like you said, early, and then he gets the win. And then just, I love that. That's what the postseason is about. For anyone that tells me that, oh, you know, hockey this high, that is what a 20-year-old popping in out of nowhere and then winning the game and then, you know, the crowd going nuts. So I love that.
I mean, there's not one more series that I'd rather see a game seven in from this postseason than this one. I mean, it gets me jacked up thinking about the possibility of it. Of course, Tampa Bay going back home has a chance to respond here, but Florida seems to have a lot of different guys. We were talking about their depth at length all regular season. They had so many guys pop up. We've even seen different guys pop up here in the playoffs, like Tippett earlier in the series. And then Marchment has two goals. And, you know, it just seemed like Sam Bennett has kept it going. He has a point in every game this series, and he's got a crazy shot volume and playing with Huberdeau. So
yeah,
they just have so much to offer. And the way that they have won their games, like falling behind yesterday, you know, the other game when they had the lead and then they were down 5-3 and they came back and won, you know, late in the game. It's just like they can roll with the punches of Tampa Bay. And I think that they can go into there. I think they can go into the defending champs house and steal one. It just feels like one of those special series. And the fact that they even won a lower scoring game yesterday. I mean, this series has, through five games, 37 goals. And that's one of the highest scoring series that I can remember. That's getting up there close to that, right? The Colorado-Dallas series from last year.
Yeah, and this is your Tampa Bay has Andre Vasilevsky, the best goalie in the league in this series. I mean, he had a 919 save percentage last night, and four goals were allowed. It's ridiculous. Wow. So this, I do agree with you. If there was one game seven I want to see, it's this series. That being said, I'm hoping for game sevens from all the rest of the series combined, just because I need as much hockey as I can get. You know, I just kind of selfish like that. So I want to see them go, including Tampa Bay, Montreal, which is pretty tight too right now.
Toronto, Montreal. Which we have to get to, and we will get to, but we mentioned them briefly. I guess Pete can take a bow. Robbie, you could take a bow. I said, let's slow down on the kid and, you know, let's not call him Patrick Waugh. And I'm still not ready to do that. But Sorokin, I mean, that totally stole the game for the Islanders. And then boy, oh boy, Jari. Oh boy, that is a tough, tough mistake. That is on that's worse than Samsonov to end the game like that. He fires it right into the stick. And I guess Bailey, you know, he gambled, he read the play, but Sorokin, unbelievable. And Jari, that's tough to take.
Yeah, it is. And on the other side, though, like me and Robbie were talking about this morning, you know, fresh off the games, Josh Bailey is super underrated this time of year. This is a guy that was taken top 10 in his draft, and the first like 5-6 years of his career was viewed as a colossal bust. But, you know, then he played well with Tavares. Now he's kept it going when Tavares left, and he just comes to play this time of year in the playoffs. He's got 41 points in 57 career playoff games. You probably wouldn't have expected something like that if you're an outsider that doesn't watch the Islanders too much. But, and they have so many other guys too, right? Sorokin clearly was the headliner, but Beauvillier, I know he wowed you yesterday, Robbie, with his goal. And Eberle always steps up. I mean, these guys, Pageau, I mean, they have like four or five guys that bring their best playoff time every single year. And that's why this team is one of the toughest outs in the whole league in the postseason.
Pageau, 5 points in his past five games. That'll do just fine. Bailey scores when it matters. Beauvillier looks like he's going to be a tremendous player in the league, but it comes down to goaltending at this time of year. And we saw it with Pittsburgh, you know, Jari playing at a 902 save percentage. It's just not going to be good enough. I mean, unless Crosby and Malkin are the 110 point players that they were when they were younger, I mean, you're not going to win like that. The same thing we saw with the Caps, you know, it's just not enough to get it done, to steal a game. And then I think you're seeing it with the Florida Panthers too. They can go to a different guy. You know, it didn't have to be Bobrovsky. It didn't have to be Chris Drieger. You know, it could be Spencer Knight. And that is what we were saying all season long. You got to have more than one guy. And I think that's why Sorokin now, you know, big credit to him. I think this is going to make a name for himself in the league in the postseason, because as far as I'm concerned, that series is over. I said it last night, whoever wins that game is winning the series. Islanders are taking this thing. Even if they lose in the Coliseum, you can bet that Barry Trotz is going to have those guys go back to Pittsburgh for game seven and win that thing in Pittsburgh.
Well, the Coliseum, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I can't imagine that the fans are going to be bestowing so much praise on Sorokin after that victory last night. People forget, you guys know, but Sorokin won a KHL championship, you know, and James Harding was going nuts when Sorokin played well in game one and then he didn't get the net in game two. This guy, he's a rookie.
He was fired up.
He's a rookie in the NHL, but as you guys know, and maybe the listeners don't know, KHL champion and not that young of a rookie. I mean, he's got some experience in competitive atmospheres.
I was looking back, just reflecting on how far he's come. I mean, he was drafted in 2014. They were hoping to get this guy over for many, many years. He was a stud in the KHL for so long. And I think back to, I was thinking about it last night, they signed Varlamov at a buy low type scenario when he, you know, was on the outs with the Avalanche after they got Grubauer. They got Varlamov. A big reason why was that, you know, future Russian teammate of Sorokin. Like, that was a big storyline at the time, and it was a huge move in hindsight. Varlamov got you deep last year. He got you where you are in the regular season with his heroics, but like, this has all been setting the table for Sorokin all along, you know?
It's true. I mean, it's really been teed up perfectly, and it's well worth the wait. I don't care, you know, that he didn't come over for a while. Now, looking at the playoff performance, it all goes out the window. And I think when you look at the division too next year, when you look at Shesterkin versus Sorokin, all the Islanders need to do in the offseason, no matter how far they go, if they win the cup, whatever it is just add a little bit more secured scoring. We saw Wahlstrom go down, kind of scary incident late in the game. And you're kind of thinking, is this when it's going to start to bite them, you know, not having the scoring, but it didn't, because they can play so well defensively. They can line lock it down. They can block shots. And with a guy like Sorokin, who looked like a brick wall at times, you don't need much more than what you have already. And Barry Trotz, I'll keep saying this, is by far and away, in my opinion, the best coach in the NHL. So it doesn't matter who they're playing. It's going to be a tight series. They can lock it down and win multiple ways.
All right, Robbie, you determine where we go here. Do we do a quick eulogy on the Capitals, or do you want to go Toronto, Montreal? I know all those franchises close to your heart. So where do you want to go, Robbie?
Well, we'll go to the Caps. I did want to just quickly say what was on my mind. If anybody watched the Vegas-Minnesota game, it was the most obscure thing I've ever seen in my life. I think Vegas had 40-plus shots. Minnesota had 14, and they win the game. So we'll get to that in a little bit, too. That's one of the most bizarre ones. Yeah, truly wild. No pun intended. But we'll do a quick little eulogy on the Caps. I had Caps in seven. Obviously, they didn't make it close to seven. They should have been swept, honestly, the way that they looked after the first two games of the series. They look probably one of the worst teams in the postseason. So tough to see all the injuries, I think, for them, Petey. And now you have to look organizationally, with what happened to Kuznetsov late in the season. Rumblings are they're not very happy with him. There could be a big shakeup in DC, and that's probably going to be the domino to fall, Petey, because I think when you look at the Pens too, they're probably not going to do a whole lot there with Brian Burke and company now, but I think Brian McClellan's going to pull the trigger here on something big this summer.
Yeah, he has to. And first and foremost, they just got to figure out the Ovechkin contract situation. And, Ovi said all along that he doesn't want to play for any other NHL team. But, his contract expires. So you got to figure that out first. He's the best player in franchise history. And then you move forward and select some areas where, you've been disappointed. I think that players like, Backstrom and Oshie have not disappointed you, even as the past 3 years have kind of dwindled, like worse and worse after the Cup championship, which was the big breakthrough. That's what happens to these teams, right? The corresponding years, like, they fall off. They can't muster the same type of roster supporting cast as the previous years. So it's unfortunate to see. You love what the Capitals have brought through the years. I think they have a promising goalie tandem with Vanacek, who was injured, and Samsonov, but it was just kind of, I think, the system and the roster itself has some flaws. And the Bruins also exploit. The Bruins were nearly dead in game two, right?
Yes,
that's what
true.
I keep thinking
it's
back
true.
To, man. The Bruins were 2 minutes away from falling behind 0-2 in the series, and then they win it in five. So you got to give some serious props to the other side of the ice, too.
And I think you have to be careful here, Pete, because you can't go full Chicago Blackhawks where you do too much and you lose a lot of good, talented players. You have to kind of walk that tightrope and figure out how we can maintain the success that we've had, but not blow the whole thing up entirely. So I would expect, a bigger trade, but not strip it down to the chassis, kind of like we saw Chicago do, unfortunately. And now they even struggled to get to the postseason. But I think you said it well. It's a lot about Boston, I think, more so than the Caps. Give them a lot of credit because they've played a ton of hockey the past few years, and Marchand looks as fresh as ever. Bergeron looks as fresh as ever. Pasternak has more to score in the postseason, so watch out for that. And I think, as you and I were talking about, Charlie McAvoy breakout party, if he can stay healthy the rest of the postseason, he is going to be a premier defenseman, not only in the NHL Norris conversation next year, but also in fantasy. If he can stick on this power play and keep the production up there, it's going to be really good for fantasy owners next season.
Yeah, we called that one, him being the X factor. He's averaging over 27 minutes a game this postseason, has 5 power play assists in as many games playing on the first unit. So definitely feels like he's being unleashed at the right time of year. Another thing, with the Bruins, definitely having that in mind all year long as they went through the rigors of the regular season. But now we're actually joined by friend of a friend of the program, Michael Leboff's buddy, Matt Russell from the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter at MRussAuthentic. First time. Great to have you on, Matt. How's that going, man?
Couldn't be better, gentlemen. Think about it. A year ago, I'm sitting lonely watching, old Smythe Division reruns, right? And now yeah. I'm peeling myself off the couch at 2 o'clock in the morning after multiple overtime games last night. So, I mean,
love it.
What a time to be alive, gentlemen. This is great.
Well, Welcome to the show, Matt. You're welcome. It's good to have you on. And I saw you tweet out last night, actually, that you had Minnesota, I think, was at plus 160. And we were just talking before, you know, you came on, that that was one of the most obscure hockey games I've ever watched. It's almost like if you were betting on it, you didn't want to watch it if you had Minnesota, but they got the job done. Like, how do you make decisions like that to kind of go against the grain at this time of year? The price was too good or what?
Yeah, essentially. And it's the type of thing that when it comes to the playoffs, right, you get your numbers built up for the regular season. And then, you know, the way I do it, the way that we do it on my show is, you know, we go, okay, like, this is how we feel about these teams, not from an eye test necessarily, a little bit though, right? But really just the numbers. And so when coming into that series specifically, I'm like, this is a real coin flip type of a series. Now, everybody's going to kind of bet on Vegas, right? They're going to be juiced up in the marketplace. And exactly what you said, right? Plus 200, plus 215 for a series price at the start of the series. That sort of sets the framework. And I go in going like, well, guess we're doing the Wild here for this entire series, right? And it kind of, I mean, it matters what happens in the games, because if they are getting like woefully outplayed, you have to take a step back and go, maybe I missed something. But even down 3-1 in the series, you look at their expected goals, their high danger chances at even strength. I'm a huge even strength guy when it comes to the metrics. And I go, still kind of a coin flip. Right. Like, yeah, the series is 3-1, but that's kind of some bad luck, maybe even a bad call when it came to that goal on Saturday night being called back, you know? And so it's like, okay, well, you know, we're still getting value here. Nothing's changed from how we feel about these two teams. And so at plus 160, you just go, yeah, let's fire away. And that one last night, we're happy to admit, total luck job there. But you know what? We kind of earned that from some of the bad luck that the Wild had gotten over the last couple of games. So happy to punch that ticket, because listen, you know, we're going to suffer some bad beats and along the way here in the NHL playoffs and in sports in general. So we'll take them when we can get them.
It was a good call for sure. Vegas has that history too, right? The past two postseasons where they have crazy shot totals and they can't squeak it out. Some disappointing losses in that regard, something to, you know, look at the rest of the series as. And I thought Minnesota, like, I was surprised that first home game of the two games, they got off to a great start, and it was just one of those things where Vegas, you know, answered the call and flexed their muscles a little bit. And I was very surprised that Minnesota didn't win one of those two home games. So it was like the bounce back trend was alive and well last night as they extended the series. What are you thinking, Matt, about some of these other series that have been a little surprising so far? Like, definitely the Carolina-Nashville series. Like, we're talking up Nashville's defense and, of course, their goaltending with Saros. Like, do you think they have a real chance to actually win this series? And if so, like, is there a betting element you're looking at from the Nashville point of view?
Yeah, and that's such a great call, because, you know, I was sort of thinking, if you're going to ask me like what I'm most surprised with, this is kind of the answer, isn't it? Like, there, everything else you can make a case for it happening, right? Even the Jets Oilers sweep last night. It's like three of those games went to overtime. The Oilers were the better team 5-on-5 based on all the metrics, like in every single one of those games. But like, the Oilers are the Oilers and the Jets are the Jets. So not all that surprising. When it comes to Carolina and Nashville, it's the only one of these eight series that I'm looking at right now going like, kind of didn't see this coming from a metric standpoint. And it's really not because Nashville's necessarily outplaying them, but how Nashville has stayed in these three games by playing pretty evenly with the Carolina Hurricanes, right? And of course, the Carolina Hurricanes, metrics darlings for sports bettors, like we all love backing the Hurricanes because we have the math behind us and all of that, right? A team that I have rated 10% above average, which is a very good rating for them. Nashville, I have it about even. So, and listen, you know, a couple of goals go the other way, and we're talking about a sweep as well here. But in this last three games, you know, listen, our boy Ned, right, for the Hurricanes, stole that game in game two. This could, in theory, be 3-1 Nashville at this point because of how close these last three games have been. That being said, tonight's game, my number, a fair price, is minus 188 on the money line for Carolina. So it's still not like, I'm not buying necessarily Nashville at this point, but it's just not a series that I've been looking to bet on a ton because, you know, I have some respect for Nashville and like what they've done. And Saros has been outstanding, obviously, this season. You know, but we've seen, you know, the price has now gone up here, minus 190, minus 200. So I think people have seen that there is actually, strangely enough, value on Carolina at the opening price of minus 185. And to see this kind of move up, isn't that surprising to me? For me, it's just sort of a stay away here. If there was a series price that I would maybe think had some value whatsoever, it might be Carolina, because, you know, they do have kind of two out of three chances here to win. We're at a point in the, you know, in the first round here where, you know, if you like a team, you probably just need to back them in every game or parlay those games together. Whereas Carolina, even if they lost tonight, you know, they can win in game six and they could win in game seven. So you do have a bit of a backup plan there at minus 240 on the series price.
I like that too. And I think when you look at Carolina, like even if Ned didn't play as well, or if he had a bad game, they could always go to Mrazek too, and he could play well. So, and I like what you said, you know, they've got plenty of chances to close the thing out. It's a safe bet. You probably go with that. But I wanted to ask about Montreal, Toronto. We're kind of seeing last night was so tight. I mean, stat line wise, same shots, block shots, face-offs. They both didn't produce on the power play. You know, that's going to be tight now without John Tavares probably for the rest of the series. So is there any appeal maybe to taking Montreal, not only tonight, but maybe in the series? Like, these back-to-backs in the postseason are wonky, so anything could really happen.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a goaltending assignment necessarily. Who knows, right? One of these teams could go to somebody else for the second game of a back-to-back. I don't see that happening, because these two goaltenders right now are having a steal-off at this point, right? Like, Carey Price doing his best to try to steal a game, to try to steal the series. Jack Campbell is doing the hold my beer thing, right? Like, he's stealing it back in a lot of ways. And so for me here, this, I do one preview a day essentially for the Action Network. This is my game tonight. I have Montreal. Anything better than plus 140 to me is a 3% edge on my numbers. You're obviously going to get better than that. Yesterday, we saw the line shoot up towards game time. It's plus 155 right now. I think yesterday got as high as plus 175 in some places. Wow. So this would be that opportunity. But again, from a series price standpoint, I'm on them from the start of the series at plus 280. I even grabbed some Montreal plus 700 to win the division, because I figure either of these teams make it past this round, they have a very real chance to not only win, but be favored against the team that they face next, which now, of course, just happens to be the Winnipeg Jets, which, again, a little bit, quote unquote, easier of a route than maybe you would have thought going in. And so, you know, for this game tonight, for me, you know, I have this conversation with, you know, I live in Toronto. We've got guys screaming in the streets every time there's a goal out here. I have buddies that I talk to, and they don't necessarily bet on hockey, but they go like, I think I'd bet on the Leafs tonight. I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'd necessarily do that. But, you know, I say to them, like, you know, watch the first period. And if it's the first period, like it is on Saturday, where there's chances back and forth, that's the game that Toronto wants to play, right? If it's a game like last night, where it's kind of just really scrummy and there's not that much going on, that's the game that Montreal wants to play. Now, kudos for Toronto last night for winning in the game that that Montreal wants to play in, right? The low, high danger chance type of a game, where Toronto is yet to crack kind of an average, you know, high danger chances, even strength. The average is 8 per game. Toronto is yet to crack that in this series. So Montreal is doing what they need to do here. They're just not getting that difference-making goal. And last night, while Morgan Riley's goal was the game winner, you know, the difference-making goal was the Nylander goal, right? Because it was this innocuous point shot that just found its way in. And Montreal wants to play that game, but they're going to need that puck to go in the net for them, and not have Toronto get the sort of quote unquote lucky low danger chance type goals in this series. And again, I think that makes it very much more coin flippy than most. My true number in this is Toronto minus 123, Montreal plus 123. So again, I still think Toronto's favored here, but once you're going to get me up into the plus 150 type area here for Montreal, I got to play that again tonight.
Yeah, and Montreal inserted Cole Caulfield. That's something that I think we thought they should have done right off the bat at the beginning of the series. But, you know, he had no points in his debut in the playoffs, but three shots on goal and 15-50, not too shabby. I think they would be smart to give him a bigger role. And, you know, there are indicators of that so far. Nylander, you mentioned that goals in three straight, stepping up. Despite Tavares being out, his frequent line mates are really good stuff for Willie there. You know, some of these other, I think it's really interesting for the futures appeal from that North Division, because it's, you know, viewed as an easier route, a lot of people say. I kind of like what Winnipeg has going right now in the futures market. up in the Canada division. What do you think about that? Because we were kind of talking up Winnipeg. One of our frequent guests, James Harding, was all over them a couple of months ago. Of course, they dipped down a little bit, but that team, after what they did, I think you have to look at them completely differently than you did, you know, say a week and a half ago for the futures market, Winnipeg.
Yeah, and this team is just my absolute bugaboo, right? Anybody who's into predictive analytics and metrics goes, I don't know how this team ever wins, right? But it's because they have high-end talent, so they can get way less, you know, they get more out of that high that talent because they get fewer high-danger chances, but they still manage to convert them, right? Like, they don't get the chances. They didn't outchance the Edmonton Oilers at any point in this series yet, boom, right? Four straight games. And so it's frustrating for me as a guy who sort of, you know, starts very much with a core base of metrics and numbers to be like, yeah, like, I'm all about the Winnipeg Jets, because that kind of goes against everything I believe in from that standpoint. I will say, from a futures market standpoint, right? We look at this futures market and, you know, once you win your first round series, you get that bump, right? Like, Boston's the second favorite right now. And it's not because they should be necessarily the second favorite. It's because they've already got their ticket to the second round, right? Yeah. And so Winnipeg gets this bump now, where a couple of things. One, if you just wait till they have an opponent, that number is probably going to go down. But the other thing is, if you can get a Conn Smythe trophy market, where right now Connor Hellebuyck, as we go along here in the playoffs, is 66-1 to win the Conn Smythe trophy. There is no way that they win the Stanley Cup if he's not their MVP, right? Like, the problem, if you will, is they're so deep that there isn't going to be one guy who sort of steals it from an offensive standpoint. They don't have that big defenseman who's going to get credit for, you know, stopping the other team the way Hedman did last year. And so it's like Connor scores a goal, Ehlers scores a big goal, Scheifele scores a big goal, Wheeler scores a big goal, but the constant is Connor Hellebuyck. So, you know, if we're betting on Winnipeg to win the Stanley Cup, the premise is that they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And right now it's only like 13-1 because they have that ticket to the second round. So instead, go 66-1, little less investment, little bigger payout, however you want to sort of play around with it. But like, if they win the Stanley Cup, which again is what you're going to need for them to cash this bet, he's going to be the Conn Smythe trophy winner because it's going to be on his back.
Agreed.
Yeah, and we saw it with Tuukka Rask. I mean, you win one round, now he's plus 850 to win the Conn Smythe, and you're like, I don't think I'm touching that now. That's not good enough value, right? So get in while you can, make it happen while it's still there. I do, before we let you go, Matt, I want to turn ahead to tomorrow. Three opportunities for teams to close out the round. What are you seeing early on? Petey and I were kind of feeling like the Islanders are going to take this thing. No inkling on the game tomorrow, though. We just think it's going to happen in the series. What about you? Are they closing out? Are, you know, three teams going on to the next round tomorrow?
So the Islanders and the Wild for me are like Thelma and Louise, and I'm the car, right? Like, they're holding hands. They are riding me right over the cliff, and maybe they make it. We don't know. We never saw the car land. Maybe something happened. Maybe there was some sort of elaborate parachute. I don't know. But for me, those were my two underdog plays going into this series. And, you know, we talked about the Minnesota, the trials and tribulations of Minnesota. And so I certainly hope that gets extended. I'll be back on Minnesota as a short home underdog. But as far as the Islanders are concerned, that was a team that my numbers cranked out that they're better than Pittsburgh before this series started. So at plus 130 series price, I was all about that. So it was the same sort of deal where it's like, we're going Islanders every single game. I stayed away from game two because, you know, felt like we were already up 1-0, obviously. Felt pretty good from that standpoint. And a 2-0 lead out of Pittsburgh would have been a bonus. So we've done really well here. And, you know, now that they've gone to Sorokin, which, you know, again, Barry Trotz, right? He's all over it. And if, you know, you're not playing well, you're gone. And so Sorokin's in there. You know, I think he stole that game. You know, again, ironically, like the Minnesota game, worst game of the series or best game of the series for Pittsburgh, sort of depending on how you look at it. Now they go back home here. I think the Islanders close it out. I've got a little pre-series minus 1.5 series price at plus 210. And normally I would just sort of sit on that and be like, good enough for me. Let's let that ride. I'm going to add to it with a little minus 105 on the Islanders. I think they finish it up tomorrow night. And then the Florida and Tampa Bay series. This one arguably kind of sneaky, the most interesting one. Anytime you have a third goaltender in the mix for a series, it's probably not ideal. But the secret thing in all of this is that Florida has been the better team 5-on-5. But the goaltending, not so secret, has let them down, right? And I understand, okay, Bobrovsky game one, you're going to give a guy $70 million. He better be in there for game one. He's earned that, if you will. And then the guy who actually earned the right to play gets to go in game two. And the truth of it is, both of them stink through four games. And then they go to the kid, Spencer Knight, who, you know, I talked about this on my podcast yesterday. You know, if you throw a towel into a pool, it's soaked, right? You can't get any wetter than that. You can't get any more pressure than Spencer Knight would have faced against Canada in the World Juniors. As far as he's concerned, right? Like, that's pressure. And so, you know, home ice first start there in game five, you know, it's probably max pressure in the same way that it was 6 months ago when he beat Canada for the US. And so, you know, I think he was ready to go. He was, you know, gives up a goal on the first shot. No chance for him to make that save. It wasn't his fault by any stretch of the imagination. And now he comes through. And so you've got a team here that's better at even strength. They're not better on the power play because obviously Tampa Bay just fired in power play goals like it was going out of style in that first game. But they've been holding up, I think, 30% on their own power play for Florida. So again, they're staying out of the box here now. They're killing some of the penalties. Tampa Bay might be in a little bit of trouble here. And so I don't know that I'm necessarily looking to back Florida in this game. I'll certainly have my hands full with the Islanders and the Wild, but don't just assume that Tampa Bay is going to finish this thing off in six. I don't know that they have been the better team as much as we've gotten excited about the return of Stamkos and Kucherov.
Yeah, good points for sure. I mean, I picked Florida at the beginning of the series and they've shown me enough where I can go out on a limb and say, I would throw something on them to win this series. I think that if you do that, throw a little bit, you'll have a blast, you know, rooting for that team because they're, sure, they're unbelievably talented offensively. They're so deep. They can roll with the punches and counter Tampa Bay. They can come back from a goal or two goal deficit in any given game. They've shown that. They've also shown that some of their best games of the series they've lost so far. Of course, game one, you look back at, but they've also tried out their other goalies. So there was like no hesitation to throw Spencer Knight in there. And great point by you about the pressure he's faced in his young career. And, you know, this is the future that we're seeing right now. So I'm excited to watch that game six. I think that they could steal it. And I think that they would have a legitimate chance to win a game seven on home ice where it's been a raucous atmosphere and their stars have come to play in those big games. So, and I think Florida's also learned how to win games against Tampa Bay in this series and learn to play defense and adjust defensively without having Ekblad for the whole series, which is really remarkable.
Yeah, and two quick notes on that. The first would be just from a betting standpoint, instead of the series price, you're just going to get a better value just betting Florida, right? $10, whatever you sort of bet. Take all of that if they win, roll that over to them at home. You're just going to get a better value from that standpoint. Axe is the same thing, point taken. But the other thing is, guys, like, I don't know if you guys felt it like this at the end of the regular season, but Tampa Bay kind of kicked away the idea of home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs, certainly the division. You know, I think they didn't even start Vasilevsky in Detroit in a couple of games down the stretch, gave up a point in that, in that series, if you will. And then the last two games against Florida, right? Like, not overly interested, a little bit more interested in scrapping with them than they were in actually winning those two games. And now once all the fans are back here, right, it's electric in Sunrise. And so, like, I think they got to be kind of kicking themselves to be like, you know, what'd be really nice, having that game seven at home. Now, of course, they can clean it up here in Tampa Bay, so it may not matter. But, you know, once we get to a game seven, like you said, right, that's going to be a coin flip type of a game. And so, this is not over at all.
It's true. It's really not, especially pay attention to what happens with McDonough during his hearing. That would be a major loss for the Tampa Bay Lightning. But you can find Matt's stuff on actionnetwork.com. His best bets will be there. He is at M Russell Authentic on Twitter. Great job for your first time on the show, Matt. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. What an honor. You guys do great work.
Yeah. So just let everybody know some of the other stuff you're doing in terms of your podcast, where they can find it, in addition to Action Network.
Yeah, The Window. It's a daily podcast, Monday through Friday. It's obviously hockey. We're deep into the weeds when it comes to hockey right now. But football is big for me as well. Basketball. We're going to get into some Euro soccer this summer, some Olympics, basically kind of a catch-all little community that we have where we just sort of talk about these games from an analytic betting standpoint. We make bets. We talk about why they won, why they lost. Today's episode is going to be, I can't believe we won with the Wild. Like, good for us, pat on the back. But The Window Sports Betting Podcast, available Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and all this stuff you can find at MRuss Authentic on Twitter, where we're living and dying every night and sometimes with a lack of sleep along the way.
All right, great stuff there from Matt. I feel like I learned something too, that you just got to keep going on the Wild here no matter what the stats say. Don't look at the box score after the game, Petey. Just hope for the end result to stay the same. But I did want to touch on Toronto, Montreal quickly tonight. Nick Foligno, pay attention to his status. He's been day-to-day. He missed the game yesterday. So if they're without JT and Foligno, I would put something on Montreal tonight. I know that's probably not going to surprise anybody listening to the show, but I think you got to get that while it's good. And then I love what Matt said about the even strength, performance in that series. If the power plays are going to wash out, Petey, you got to think Montreal can lock this thing down enough, and if Carey Price goes back to back, there's nobody you'd rather have a net.
I like Montreal tonight as well, Pete.
Yeah, and you would think, game two, it kind of masked it a little bit because the Leafs had their best power play output of the past like 35 games or something like that, with scoring two power play goals, but they will over time miss John Tavares. I mean, we're glad to hear that he's, doing as well as possible after that scary injury. There was nothing structural, thank goodness. But, in terms of on the ice performance without him, he's going to be out at least 2 weeks. He's got a knee injury in addition to the concussion. So really unfortunate there. But it's an opportunity as the series lingers on for Montreal to hang around a little bit.
All right, we're going to put a bow on it here, but I am going to mention Jacob Slavin skating on the ice for morning skates. So that's a big plus for Carolina if he plays. And I think I'm going to take Carolina on the adjusted series price. I'd be shocked if they lost the series. It's 2-2. They're still in a fine spot. Slavin comes back. I like Carolina. I don't know if I like them tonight at -197, but I would look at the adjusted series price. That's all I got, folks.
One other note I wanted to add on why I like Florida. I mean, they've outshot the Tampa Bay Lightning by an average of 7 shots on goal per game. That's a difficult thing to do. And they've really come along nicely over the course of this season. So it's and they've dealt with adversity at many different points with injuries and, of course, Ekblad out. And I just think that there's a little bit something underlying about that series that's made it so exciting to watch. And I feel like they could steal game 6. So it's just like a hunch I have backed up by some facts and some observations that we've seen throughout the series so far.
I love the boldness, Petey. I love sticking your neck out there for the Florida Panthers. Definitely one of the better storylines here in the postseason. So we will be back with everybody, I believe, on Thursday, joined by potentially Chris Meaney. So send us some questions on Twitter. In the meantime, at NHL Fantasy on Twitter and Instagram, at NHL Reese for myself, at NHL Jensen for Petey, and Bobby's at AirChecked for all your gambling advice and needs. And I think I just want to say real quick, though, I'm kind of with Bobby on the Hurricanes. I would take them tonight, maybe a parlay it with Montreal, get a better value there, something like that. But I think, Carolina is probably going to win this thing. I do think Nashville, though, has a chance to take it to 7, but I'm not touching that right now. Slavin's in the lineup.
Well, DFS alert for sure on Dougie Hamilton. He's ready to break through. He's got 23 shots on goal with no goals. We did a little snake draft for FanDuel for the two games tonight. Check that out at NHL.com/fantasy. Me, Robbie, and Davey Satriano. So a good read there. And then, speaking of Meany, he is penciled in.
Nice.
For Thursday. So we're excited about that. So for Robbie, Bobby, Pete, talk to you on Thursday, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.